Welcome to the Jesus Sisters Podcast. It's not a coincidence you're here.
We thank you for joining us on this journey to seek a close and personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, welcome to our season 4 premiere.
Yay! Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. This is very exciting.
No, you're fine. It is very exciting. Today we are going to be talking about Jesus and his resurrection and everything that he has done for us. So we are very excited to be back and sharing the gospel with everybody. So just very excited to share what scriptures we have and, you know, give our 2 cents, I guess, on what those scriptures mean to us. So I just want to start us off with a prayer and then we can get into it. So Heavenly Father, empty us of ourselves. This is your podcast. So we just want you to guide us in what you would like for us to say, you know, reach who you want us to reach. And we just hope that you will bless this season and people who are far from Christ will get a glimpse and maybe hopefully accept you into their hearts if they don't know you. And the ones that do know you, hopefully they're strengthened by this message in this season, and just help us along the way. Send your Holy Spirit to guide us and be our helper as you promised. And yeah, we just hope that, you know, you bless us and bless everybody who's listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus' name, amen. I love it, Allie. I'm so excited. I just have to tell you really quick before we get started into all of our scripture, but I'm sitting in my office. This is one of my favorite times of year. And I have 2 crystal crosses that are in windows that are like higher up on my wall. And every morning this time of year, the sun comes in and it shines like rainbows all around my office. And it makes me feel like I have like little angels in my office. I'm like, okay, Jesus, let's do this.
Jesus is shining.
I know. It's so awesome. It makes me so happy. And I just am feeling super inspired to get started on this new season. But like always, you know, for whatever reason, it seems like whenever we get ready to record a podcast, all the things that could possibly happen literally happen. And today is no different than that. But guess what? Jesus prevails because we're here and we're recording.
And this episode is all about how, you know, Jesus defeated death and defeated Satan. And so, of course, whenever you bring that message of truth, you know, letting people know that Satan is the defeated foe, of course, he's not going to like that. But can't stop us.
That's
right.
We're
going to shine this light.
Can't stop, won't stop. Okay. I don't know. I haven't had enough caffeine yet and I'm still a little crazy. So watch out.
Yeah. It's always
the coffee goes down.
When you start a new season, you're always like, all right, I got to get back into the swing of things. Like, here we are, Jesus sisters, ready, set, go.
It's just not the same though with Allie living in Florida. I just miss my Jesus sister so much. So when we do talk, like we talked yesterday, I don't know, for a good 2 hours so we could like talk, get it out of our system. And I'm like, dang, we should have just been recording the whole time.
Yeah, because it's iron really does sharpen iron. We talk about that. And
so true.
It's just fun to speak to others or your friends who do have this close personal relationship with Jesus, because you can feel the Holy Spirit there and you share scriptures and it's just so uplifting. There really is truth to fellowship and, you know, being around good company that can share your love and joy for Jesus. It's awesome.
I love it. You're right. Iron sharpens iron. Okay. Well, let's sharpen some iron, girlfriend. Let's do this.
Let's
spread the word. We're going to start off in John. So like always, Allie and I prep on our own, and it's funny how God just makes it all come together, because I've been reading the book of John again. I'm still reading the book of John, but it's like the second or third time. doing it in my women's Bible study. It's so good, but it's like, oh my gosh, it's so relevant for the time that we're in right now in terms of Easter and thinking about that. And I just am just loving it and the whole message of Jesus and his life and what he stood for. And so basically my approach for today was just, it was getting up and to the point of the crucifixion. And then Allie's scripture is going to take us after the crucifixion and through the resurrection. So I'm going to get us started in John again, and we're going to start in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And it says, Jesus is comforting his disciples before, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And I just love as we're getting ready for the day when they are going to crucify him. Like the scripture that I have, I feel like it just really shows Jesus's love for his disciples and for all of us, because he loved all of us the same way he loved his disciples. And he is just, he's always speaking in these metaphors and these parables. And I just love that they're always talking. He's like, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And they're like, no, we don't know what you're talking about. Like, what are you talking about? They have no idea that he's about to die and be resurrected. But my favorite part of all of this, and it's very popular scripture, is that I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And it's just so powerful, because I know there's so many people I have in my life that they struggle with, is Jesus the only way? And here is just another example of him saying that you cannot come to the Father unless you come through me.
Yeah, I feel like such an important scripture, because it does show us the way to eternal life. But I also like how you can see the disciples, even though they have been with Jesus, seen the miracles, which we, our season end was talking about the miracles of Jesus. And we can still see that even though they witnessed all these things and Jesus has been preaching to them and teaching them one-on-one in person, there's still just that little bit of doubt that, you know, we carry with us in our human nature. And so I think it just helps me, even when, you know, it's like, I might have unbelief, but like, Lord, help my unbelief. And he knows that about us. And, you know, still reiterates what we need to know. Like, even if he's speaking in a parable or things, that he just lets you know, like, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, like very bold statements of what we truly need to know. And and we all need to know that Jesus is the way. Like, you know, if you don't feel that way, you know, I suggest you get into John, because I think it might change your perspective and tug at those heartstrings.
So Allie, you bring up a good point about unbelief. And I feel like I do still struggle with that, which is so crazy. Somebody's probably listening to this like, really, your podcast? It's called Jesus Sisters. And it's not that I don't believe, but there are these moments where it's like, oh, like, is that true? Like, I don't know. It's not that I'm trying to think of a way to articulate this, but it's not that I don't believe, but it's just like the moment, these brief moments of like questioning, right? And sometimes I think it's the enemy, and I do think it's totally a being of the flesh, because we're just want to be bombarded with proof,
yes, proof, proof, yes.
And unfortunately, that's not what faith is about. Faith is about having faith, you know, believing in the things that are unseen. And so if anybody's having any of that, I don't know if I should say it's normal, but it's normal for me. And I feel like I'm not the only person that probably feels that way either. So just when I have moments like that, I have to stop and pray. Like, Lord, you know, show me. That is always my prayer. Whenever I have a question, Lord, show me. Show me, show me, show me. And then it's taking me out of it. I'm just waiting to hear from him.
Yeah. And I think it's hard for us to, in this world, we always want proof, and it's all about, you know, Jesus says, blessed is he who hasn't seen and still believes. And, you know, that's us, everybody wasn't a part of the disciples, and even Thomas, you know, which, you know, maybe we'll get to that in this episode, but they call him Doubting Thomas because, you know, they didn't even, after Jesus died, their belief was deflated. And, you know, it's like people, his disciples who walked with him didn't even want to give him those 3 days. Like he told them, like, on the third day, I will rise again. And there was that doubt. Like Thomas was like, until I see him, I'm not going to. And I think it just helps us when we do have those times of doubt where we're like, even the disciples who spent time with Jesus, seen him in the flesh after and seen these miracles, they still, you know, dealt with and dealt or had, you know, these hangups with disbelief. So, and Jesus being who he is still loves us and forgives us. And that's just the wonderful part about it. He already knows that we're like that. And that's why he continues the whole time that he was on earth was just comforting us and telling us not to worry and just continuing to say these bold statements, like, I am the way, the truth, and the life, told everybody straight up, because, you know, sometimes we just don't get it.
I know. Whenever I have those moments and I pray, I swear God shows up and he's like, here, see it. Here's the receipts. Here's the facts. I'm like, okay, I see you. I had a moment just the other day. And then I listened to a podcast. It was a sermon from a church that I used to attend in California. And it was all about, what is the probability that Jesus is not who he was? Like, what is the probability that he met all the prophecies? And it was like, there's some astronomical number. And being a math person, I'm like, okay, I get it. I hear you. Thank you for showing up again.
Yeah, there's no denying. And I think that is what is awesome about the Bible. It truly is living and active. It doesn't matter how many times you read it, because it is alive. I feel like from where I was when I first started reading it to now, the more you read it, the more proof and the more you're like, oh, that connects. That's like a prophecy fulfilled right there. Psalms, you know, has so many, you know, this was before Jesus ever came, and all those prophecies that came to fruition after Jesus, you know, came and completed, you know, his work on the cross is just more proof. But I think sometimes people have a hard time because they weren't there at that time period, or they just don't know. They don't get in the Bible and, you know, have an open heart to be able to take it all in. But, you know, I think that that's why it's so important to, you know, man shall not live on bread alone, but on the word of God. So
I would say reading the book of John has actually really helped me a lot. And I'll keep us moving here because we got a ton of scripture in a minute. But there's something super powerful about reading. Sorry about that. Hit the mute button on accident. There's something powerful about reading it from beginning to end and to see his beginnings, where he doesn't want people to know who he is at first. He's not ready. It's not his time. And then he starts performing all these miracles, right? And we talked about those miracles in our season 3 ender. But then to see the whole thing played out and how he lived this perfect life and all the promises that he makes. And it's just so powerful. I'm like, okay, if I don't believe after this, I got a serious problem. That's just me. But okay, so now we're going to keep moving through. Remember, we're spending our time with the disciples and we're watching Jesus's interactions with him. He's starting to foretell of his resurrection coming up here. And he's talking about, now he's going to be talking about how he's going to leave the Holy Spirit once he passes. And so this is John chapter 16, verses 5 through 11. So, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the rule of this the ruler of this world has been judged. Yeah, I'm sorry. I feel like you probably heard 5,000 noises in the background. That would be my family. So hopefully you didn't hear all that. There was sneezing and cereal bowls coming up and down the stairs. Sorry, Jesus. We try to keep it as clean as we can in here, but you know, good times. Just keeping it real, real podcast, real house, real people. The Holy Spirit to me is like the best. That is how I feel. One of the ways I most feel connected to God is that moment where I feel like I have been touched by the Holy Spirit, whether I'm in church, whether I'm singing worship on my own, whether I'm having just quiet time and stillness. And I am so thankful for the Holy Spirit, because to me, that is when I feel, even though I can't, there's nothing to see, that is when I feel God. And so I'm speaking of unbelief, right? When I have those moments, it's like, oh, there's no denying that. And I'm just so thankful for that gift.
Right. And I love this part where it had said, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So he's saying, in order for you to get the Holy Spirit, you know, I have to go, like I have to do this, and he has to pay, you know, he's paying our debt. And it is just so profound. And now having the Holy Spirit, you know, before it was the disciples got Jesus, but now this work that he's doing, this miracle, this gift of love, he is able to share the Holy Spirit with not just them, but connect with the whole world. People that are in, people that still haven't even come, you know, us today, about how we have the Holy Spirit, you know, it's like
little people. I know us, the little people that didn't even exist yet. And I love that we know when he prays, even back then, that he was praying for us. Like he knew that we were going to be on this earth and he knew our journey. I just love that. I just love the idea that our God knew us even before we were here.
And, you know, he's saying, he's giving all these, you know, promises and saying like, I am God. And also setting it straight, like, you know, I've come to judge the enemy, and, you know, he will not have the keys to death. I am taking them back. I am, you know, coming for my sheep, and you better watch out.
You better watch out. I love it. Okay. So I'm going to take us into the next section, and we're going to talk about, he's going to be foretelling of his resurrection. And this is John 16 verses 16 through 20. A little while and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while, you will see me. Some of his disciples then said to one another, what is this thing he's telling us? A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father? So they were saying, what is this he says? A little while. We do not know what he's talking about. Jesus knew that they wished to question him. And he said to them, are you deliberating together about this, that I said a little while and you will not see me? And again, a little while you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. And I just, it's like, I love that Jesus is like always keeping them on their toes. Like he just never shoots them straight. Like, pay attention. I'm going to need you to interpret what I'm saying here. And so they're super confused. Like, what are you talking about? Like, he's saying, okay, I'm leaving, right? But you see me now, you are not going to see me, but then you're going to see me again, and the world will rejoice. But I love that he is telling them, you're going to weep. We know you're going to be sad, but because of this, the world is going to have the helper. It's going to rejoice because he ultimately will be part of the resurrection or be the resurrection. And so I just love when Jesus talks to his disciples and, you know, keeps them on their toes. And I think that's for us too, right? You know, a lot of people have a lot of different interpretations of the scripture. If you're in the world of spirituality, people believe that, oh, Jesus existed, but that he wasn't the Son of God. And they try to say, oh, well, you people just didn't understand his words. That, you know, that's not really what he meant, that he was the Son of God. But to me, when I'm reading these scriptures, there's no denying it. Like, he's telling them, listen, I'm going to go away. I'm going to come back, but we're going to all rejoice. I'm going to leave you my helper. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All the things. And so we just have to remember that. You have to read this for ourselves and make this interpretation for ourselves, because other people will let us be led astray, and we don't want to be part of that. We want to make sure that we're following our God.
And another kind of nice or interesting fact when you're reading through John is that he was an eyewitness to Jesus's crucifixion. So you're getting that eyewitness account of things that took place. And I think that knowing that part helps me when I'm reading it, just having that dialogue and that background to go, like, he's speaking as like a friend watching his friend, not only his God, but his friend, you know, be crucified, and all these accounts of him saying, like, I'm in these miracles that, you know, I don't think the disciples truly realized until after Jesus died and rose again and the Holy Spirit came, where they were able to understand more after the sequence of events happened. Just like we understand the Holy Spirit and think, because we get the full picture in the Bible, we get all these accounts where they were just kind of going through it in real time, having Jesus say a lot of these things that I'm sure were foreign to them, because nobody jumped on the scene like Jesus did and was offering eternal life and the resurrection and all that. Like, these are things that, you know, just were unheard of. So I do like that little extra nugget, I guess, about John, you know, when you know that John was actually there at the crucifixion and is talking to you through his, you know, eyes and his lens to get that true picture of what really went down.
I love that. I didn't know that. See, look at all these little nuggets I'm learning from you, Jesus sister. Thanks, Allie. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead, keep it moving, because I know we want to keep this as jam packed and condensed as we can. So we're not here for an hour and a half, because we could be here for an hour and a half. Let me tell you, when we talk, we be talking.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about our Jesus.
I know, when we talk about Jesus, we can go forever. My husband probably rolls his eyes while we're on the phone, but he doesn't. He's actually very patient with me. All right. So John chapter 16, verses 32 through 33. Again, Jesus still telling of his resurrection. It says, "Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." And I'm sure his disciples at this point are like, again, I have no idea what you're talking about. Because you're right, you know, that hindsight, it's total 2020. And all of these things that he's talking about, my hour is coming. Oh, wait, my hour has already come. And then it's just, I'm going to be alone, but I'm not going to be alone. And they're probably like, okay, I mean, we know you're the smartest man we've ever talked to, but like, we just don't get it. And again, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So even though you're going to be confused, even though you may not know what's going on, just know I got this. I'm in control and I have already overcome the world and it's all going to be fine.
Yeah. And he's talking about, you know, this new relationship, like you were speaking about how he was going to send the Holy Spirit. They didn't have that before. So he's also letting them know, you know, you're going to have this new personal relationship with me because I'm going to, you know, I'm going to tear the veil right down the middle. So there's not going to be any separation anymore. And I'm sure also he knew that, you know, a lot of the disciples, they did have trials and tribulations after Jesus rose again because they went about preaching the gospel and people didn't like that. And, you know, most of them died not very pleasant ways, you know, for the cause, for the gospel to, so that we could all, you know, read the Bible today. And he knew that. And he was saying like, you know, but do not be troubled. Like I, you know, am taking over, like I'm taking back dominion that, you know, Satan had, you know, back when with the, you know, Adam and Eve and the tree and all that, which I think, you know, it's like we were talking about hindsight, it's 2020. They were kind of like, what is all this going on? I don't understand what he's saying. And, you know, until that everything happened, you couldn't really get that full picture, but we're blessed because they were able to write these accounts and with God create the Bible so that we could understand, you know, just exactly the gift and the price that Jesus paid for all of our sins and what he took on. It's, you know, all glory to God. I don't know how to put it in words. I don't think there's any words that could ever amount to what Jesus truly did, or if we can even understand the gravity of what he did.
No. And to think about like how he did this with such grace and how he knows that his time has come, yet he's still constantly mentoring and loving on his disciples, just trying to guide them and lead them and prepare them. And so the next scripture I was going to share is like, you know, here Jesus knows his time has come, and here he's praying for the world. He's praying for us. He's praying for his disciples. He's praying for his friends. He's praying for everyone. And this is John 17, 1-5. And instead of like, poor me, woe is me, he's praying for the world. And it says, Jesus spoke these things and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with which I have had you before the world was. I'm sorry. I sometimes look the way it's written, and this is the NASB version. So I'm like, oh, I'm trying to read this without stepping all over my toes. But it's the scripture, so I want to make sure I get it right. I'm going to read that last line one more time. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with glory which I had with you before the world was. So, you know, just glorify. He just wants to glorify God. That's his whole purpose. Instead of like, why have you done this to me? You know, why do I have to go through this? Like, I just want to glorify you. I want my work to glorify you. And I love that so much.
Yeah, it's such a powerful, because you get to hear Jesus's prayer to God, where he's like saying, you know, before all of this, like, you know, so he's going to be, you know, going back to take his rightful place, you know, in heaven, but he's also like, you know, he's taking back dominion and power. And it's just a very powerful prayer. I got chills. So don't think that you weren't doing it justice when you're like, I fumbled. I was like, oh, I'm feeling this.
Oh,
Holy
good.
Spirit is like, well, so
there's yeah, a lot more to that. There's actually a lot more to that prayer. So if you are not familiar with it, I just, for our listeners, I just want them to make sure that they go. It continues on in verse 6. That's just verses 1 through 5. So go read that whole entire prayer. It's beautiful. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't mean
it. Yeah. No. And I think it kind of to piggyback off of what you were saying the entire time. I mean, even we're not going to really talk about too much of the actual crucifixion, but you should definitely read it because Jesus, you know, the pain, the physical pain that he went through and the torment and just to be betrayed. I mean, the emotional pain is just unfathomable and brutal. But the whole time he's praying for us. He's even when he was dying on the cross, he was praying for others, the thief on the cross saying, you'll be with me, helping others until his very last breath. You know, he was about his sheep and helping us. And, you know, I just, there's nobody like Jesus. Nobody has that testimony. Nobody came to this earth. I don't care who you, nobody has the story like Jesus. It is truly the greatest story ever told. Nobody died for others. You know, I think there was like a quote that said, the Bible is the only like hero story where the hero died for the villain, because, you know, here we are, oh, you can amen. See, yes, Satan is, you know, a bad, you know, demonic presence. But you see in that Jesus was betrayed by all of his friends. You know, I mean, we've all been betrayed before. And yeah. It's such a horrible feeling when it's so much worse when it's the people that you love and they walk away from you. And he experienced not only this physical, I mean, being scourged with whips, with nails on the end and his flesh being, and they spat at him. They are our savior who's doing all of this to save us. And, you know, and we're not, you know, it's horrible to talk about, but we see that even we, you know, Peter who spent, you know, Peter denied him 3 times. I mean, can you imagine, you know, I'll die for you, Jesus, you know, he's telling all these things that will happen and even saying like, you will betray me. And he still betrays him. And it's just, I, like I said, I can't put it into words. I feel like I can't even do it justice, you know, because it's just so, it's the biggest deal ever.
Yeah. And so that's why I totally agree with you, Allie. Like, I feel like my words could never do it justice, which is why I'm so thankful that we have the scripture, because it just is so clear. And there's no denying like what you're reading. So like, I'm going to take us into the crucifixion and before the crucifixion, just a little bit. I mean, it's not a ton of scripture. And then, but it's, when you read it, there's like, this is it. Like you cannot deny this. So Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe on him. And they began to come up to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews," and to give him slaps in the face. And that's John chapter 19, 1-3. I mean, can you imagine shoving a crown of thorns into Jesus's head and slapping him in the face? Like, and then to know that he was resurrected, it just makes me angry. It makes me so angry.
It makes me very angry.
Prayed for them. He still prayed for them on top of that.
And they set the murderer free over him. I mean, we didn't like, there was just because we wanted to focus on, you know, leading up to the resurrection and then the resurrection. And there's so many little interesting facts about, you know, the physical like brutality that he actually went through and, you know, so him horrible. Saying that like a bone wouldn't be broken in his body, but to think that a bone actually wasn't broken in his body, considering what he went through. That was also another prophecy that came true.
Yes.
And, you know, like, cause they broke the legs after when they crucified people, they would break their legs because, it was something about like, they're not able to breathe when their legs are broken and they're hanging that way. So that's why they would do it. But Jesus had already died. So, you know, that's a way, usually that's what they would do. But So there's just so many things that I think just knowing the physical pain that he actually went through. And I mean, I think the cross was like 200 pounds. So after being beaten, the thorns, I watched something about those thorns that they stuck on him. Like they literally would have caused like somebody to have to get stitches because of the kind of thorns that they were. And there was so many on that crown. Like he went through like the ultimate, you know, and that's why, you know, he's our savior. He is the spotless lamb to take away the sins of the world. But so definitely, you know, I do feel a little bit bad that I, you know, because I don't want to negate that or take away from, you know, the price that he paid physically and emotionally to get to the resurrection. So please, you know, look into that and see, because I think it does draw you closer to know, like he really did go to bat for us. He laid down his life so that we could be with him and be with, you know, awesome Jesus, awesome loving Jesus. And, you know, so do your research, look into that, because it's definitely worth looking into.
Okay. I'm going to bring it home with my final scripture here. And you're right, Allie, there is just, it's so important. We didn't want to like overshadow that, but we just thought if we stuck to the scripture, we would know, like the scripture would tell the story for itself. So here's my last scripture, chapter 19, verses 17 through 19. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of a skull, which is now in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two other men, one on either side, and Jesus in between. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It was written, Jesus, the Nazarene, the King of Jews. And it's just like the irony of them writing Jesus, the Nazarene, the King of Jews, and they were trying to mock him, yet he is truly the King of the world, the King of all. And so he, you know, he got the last laugh. They were trying to mock him. No, he is the King, and he's the living King, even though not to our eyes physically, but we know that he is alive and caring and looking over all of us. And I love that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to get into my scripture, cause I know, I've got kind of a lot to digest as well. And I know we got to keep it moving. So I'm going to go to Matthew 27:45, and this is where Jesus dies on the cross. And there are, I believe 4 miracles that take place during this. So, let's start. Now from the 6th hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the 9th hour. About the 9th hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who were standing there when they heard it began saying, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him keeping guard over Jesus when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening became very frightened and said, truly, this was the Son of God.
Yeah, people, because if you didn't know, now you know, like people were rose from the dead when he passed. Like, I mean, and the earth shook, like that's insane. Like, that's mm-hmm. so crazy. It gives me goosebumps. It's just so like, powerful. And then the veil was
nature
torn.
Was testifying.
Oh, everything. Like,
yeah,
everything shook. And yet, I mean, could you imagine being alive during that time? And if you didn't believe at that time, and then you lived through, think about being one of the people who spit on him and mm-hmm. spat on him. And then now the whole earth shakes as soon as he passes. Like, I'd be shaking in my boots. I'd be on my knees. Like, how do you deny that?
Well, I think they knew at that time that they couldn't, because, you know, the dead were coming out of the tombs. You know, the darkness, as soon as Jesus, you know, he lifted up his spirit, darkness fell over the earth. It's like the, you know, even the earth is acknowledging the creator and saying, you know, darkness. And that is truly when you don't have Jesus, darkness. That is like a point that I, you know, and I think when they were saying he's calling for Elijah, they were misunderstanding him, because Elijah was just taken up into heaven. So they were thinking that, you know, that was gonna, but, what they say is that Jesus was at that moment, because he paid for our sins, he was separated from God. He had like a double death. And so the pain from being separated from God was, you know, that's why he was like, why have you forsaken me? So just very, very profound. And then, like you were saying, that the veil, it was torn from the top. And that was, you know, signifying like that there is no more, you know, like I think back in the temple days, it was like you could only go into the temple on certain days. And then it was like the second layer, or the third layer was like the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest could get in there on like a certain day. In like the Jewish culture. So like Jesus was like tearing the veil, saying no more of that. Like, now you have a personal relationship with me, you know, and the Holy Spirit, like you come right to me. Like, there is no separation. There is no veil. It's me and you. And it's just a very profound. And again, miracles just happening through this to give us even more proof that he is God.
I love that. I've always been so struck by the whole veil analogy. Like, I didn't realize how strong and thick the material of the veil was. Like, to think that something, I mean, not that all of it isn't super powerful and like mind blowing, but to think about the force that had to take to tear it from top to bottom. And then, like you were talking about, the fact that that was a symbol of like, it's all about that personal relationship. Now there is nothing that separates me and you. And I think that for people who are not Christians, they have a hard time understanding, like, what do you mean a personal relationship with God? And I think that when you can see that there doesn't have to be any buffer between you and in God, that is just such a gift. And because not all people believe that or see that. And so again, another thank you for going through the most horrific and painful death you could possibly imagine for us.
Yeah, because my life has, you know, that's my personal, my life has been transformed by my personal relationship with Jesus. Like, I don't even know where I would be if, you know, I didn't have Jesus. And, you know, he chooses us. And I was a sinner. And for whatever reason, he thought I, you know, was worthy. And, you know, it's just, like I said, nobody's done what Jesus did. And when you read the scripture and you see, like, you know, the dynamics of the veil being torn so that we can, you know, it used to be like, no, you need to, only this person can get to God, and you have to bring a sacrifice and blemish free and all these things. And God is like, come as you are. Like, I am here. Like, you know, I came for the sinners. I came for the lost, to seek and save what was lost. And so you get that picture. And when you see these things happening after his death, and yeah. So I get a little bit, touched. Okay. And so then, I did want to just go back, and this was, you know, before Jesus, when he was kind of talking to his disciples, just to say that he did predict that, you know, he would be handed over very plainly, and that he would, you know, die, and on the third day would be raised up. So Matthew 20:17-19, as Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves. And on the way, he said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. And on the third day, he will be raised up." So I just, you know, like that you can see he told the disciples everything that was going to happen, and still, like, you know, they still had that little bit of unbelief when, you know, Jesus died for those 3 days. And, you know, I guess, you know, it's just even that time, like that I think he was separated from God that whole time, you know, from the time he died to the resurrection. So it's like, thank you, Jesus, for doing that too.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, sorry. I feel like I keep interrupting you today. Maybe we're just rusty because we had a couple months
or off. Excited.
Or excited. Yeah, I mean, now that if you were one of his disciples, and it's funny that, you know, he specifically states that he will be raised up on the third day. Like, I mean, if that wasn't just like, whoa. I mean, because before he was speaking in like parables and like they're having to make sense of it. But here it's super, super clear. Like he's going to be condemned to death. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They're going to mock him. They're going to crucify him. And then the third day he's going to be risen up. So like, it's like, there will be no mistaking what I'm saying on this one.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so then this is where Jesus is laid in the tomb. And, you know, before that, I have to give a shout out to the women because, you know, the women were the first to be able to see Jesus. And, you know, as a woman, it just feels good because at that time, you know, women were very overlooked. And I think when Jesus came, he showed how important women were. And by, you know, even telling the sinful, you know, woman at the well, you know, she was the first one that he publicly, you know, and then said, go and, you know, share. And she just couldn't keep it contained. She was like, come see a man who told me everything. He's the Messiah. You know, it tickles me a little bit that he gave, you know, I think just did that for women to show like that he loves us and we are valuable and, you know, we're all part of the kingdom. So, when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. Now on the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I'm going to rise again.' Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen,' and the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go, make it as secure as you know how." And they went and made the grave secure. And along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. And I'm just going to pause for a moment because, I mean, it says something where they were like so worried about, you know, Jesus, you know, rising again. They almost had more, even though they didn't want it to happen. I almost feel like reading that they believe that there was a possibility, and maybe from all those miracles that happened after, you know, he, you know, gave his spirit up, they were a little bit like, "Oh, I don't," you know, so they took all these precautions. And this is, you know, I point this out for people that are like, no, or, you know, don't believe that Jesus is their savior. It's like there were people that really did not want to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And they took so many steps to try and, you know, to thwart people believing that he was God, and there was no stopping it. So, okay, I'm going to move on now.
Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And again, he lets women be the ones to be like, "Jesus rose again. Like, he's here." I just think that that is awesome.
Yeah, those are his girls. And they're like, yeah. Well, he knew. I mean, they were very, they loved him so much. And they were like friends. Not only, like you were saying earlier, like not only was this their God and the Messiah, but like they were friends and they were going to be there because they knew, you know. And I just think it's so cool. Like I was just, while you were reading this, I'm like, oh, there are just so many amazing moments in this story. I'm like, if I could only be there for one, which one would I want to be there for? And I definitely want to be there for the resurrection. Like I would, could you imagine the guards that were there? They're, you know, with all their, you know, weapons, equipment, tools, like whatever they had, they're here to protect it. It didn't matter. Like, they're in sheer shock and like pale, and you've seen angels and you've seen God rise. Like, that's insane. That's awesome.
Yeah. You see this stone that's just like moved away like nothing. I think if you look into like what that stone actually looked like, it was pretty, they took every precaution to make sure he could not get out of that tomb. And to have, you know, pretty much you get heaven and earth are meeting, you're seeing, you know, a heavenly host descend from heaven onto earth and is like, boof, like he is not here. He has resurrected. Like there is no denying. I am sending supernatural like angels, you know, to dispatch to show you that, you know, he has risen. The price has been paid. The bill is, you know, paid in full. And then, you know, he gets to appear to the women and they get to go and share that with, you know, the other disciples and, just how special that is. So, yeah. And just to hear, like, he is risen, like he keeps his promises. Like you go tell him the resurrection has happened. He's not here. Okay. So then I'm going to move on. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and they will see me." So I was like, oh, then you get to see Jesus. I mean, could you imagine? I just, you know, after thinking that, you know, he's, and then he reappears. Crazy. Nobody's doing that. Who else has done that? Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody. Oh yeah. My gosh. So awesome.
All right. Now while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is still till this day. So I just think it's, they tried to do whatever they could to, like I say, thwart any belief, but there really is no doubt, at least in my mind, when I read the scriptures, that only God could accomplish this and do what he did. And, you know, for somebody to die. And then so many people did see him after he resurrected, you know, they were seeing him on the streets. I think that's in John. I could be wrong, or Luke,
you know, one of those four gospels. They're all, you know, different accounts, but, you know, same story, different accounts from different points of view. And so, yeah, it was just, yeah, amazing.
So cool. I mean, I wonder what it looked like. I always get wrapped up in like, what did that visually look like when like, hey, there goes Jesus. I guess he's back. Like, you know, like what was it? Could you see his figure? Did it look like, I don't know. Did it look like a human flying? Did it look like a ghost? I have no idea. I love it. I just love it. These are some of the questions, the really ridiculous questions that I'm going to have when I get to heaven, because I'm sure there's really more important questions, but I want to know what it looked like.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then it says the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." And I love that, because he's letting us know, like, I am God. I have all authority. Like, I took back, like, dominion is mine. And, you know, now this is the Great Commission to share the gospel, because, yes, you know, we gotta gather the sheep, because that is my mission. And, you know, and then he's also saying, like, now I'm with you always, yes, you know, through the Holy Spirit, I am with you always. And then, you know, he ascended into heaven, which was, you know, also another miracle. Watching nobody else be doing that. Sorry.
No. And it's
sorry, not sorry.
Where else is that written, right? But I love this last couple sentences where he says, go, he gives them their marching orders, which to me is the marching orders for all of us, right? Because when he's speaking to all time. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm always with you, even till the end of the age. Like, he's even with us now, right? Until the end of this age, to the end of when he comes back again. And I take that line very serious. As you can see, here we are, you know, with Jesus sisters. But it's our job to go out and spread the word. Not everybody shares it in the same way, but it is our job. That is what God has commanded us to do. And Jesus, that here he is in his words. And I just love it. It's so, so powerful. All this scripture. I'm glad you read the whole thing, Allie, because at first I was like, that's a lot, but there's not one word that I would ever not want to be read. This is so powerful.
Yeah. I think because when I first started going to church, I would hear maybe a line of scripture and it left room for misinterpretation because I wasn't getting the full picture. And so I always struggle with, you know, how much do I say and how much do I leave out? Because I know that I struggled with that. You know, sometimes I would take a sentence and, but then when I read the full, you know, paragraph or what, I'd be like, oh, that's what it meant. I was applying it to this, because you can take something and, you know, kind of twist it and be like, well, I could apply this here and make it sound real good. And, you know, and it's like, you want to get the full scope. And that's just how I think we have a more personal relationship too, especially, with something like this, that's so important, is pivotal in, you know, our relationship with him, knowing what he did, the price he paid, and knowing the dynamics, like, you know, sin had to be paid for. And I think, you know, now he's saying, like, you know, it's time to, you know, turn away from your sin, repent. Like, you know, I'm the person that, you know, is paying for your sins, but also acknowledging that sin exists and that we need to, you know, stay away from it and repent of it. So, also another good point during the resurrection. So then my last scripture is actually Romans 6:8-11. I think it just kind of ties it all in a bow. If we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Love that. Oh my gosh, I feel so like overwhelmed with the amazing scripture and just how powerful all of these words are. So, I mean, just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for withstanding the pain. And thank you for being strong enough to live a perfect life and to represent how we're supposed to live our lives and to constantly seek God. Because even though Jesus, he is God, while he spent his time on earth, we can see when we're reading in the Bible, and especially in the book of John, when he felt weak, he prayed to God. He used God's word to keep himself strong, even in the face of temptation. And he just modeled exactly how we are supposed to live our lives. And so thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes. I mean, that is like all glory and power and honor to you. Thank you. Yeah. I think that's, you know, that sums it up, is just thank you for what you've done. There's no words to really describe, you know, what he's done. And I think the thankfulness that we should have, because it's everything.
I love it. The perfect ending to an amazing story. So it was great to be with you today, my Jesus sister, Allie. And yes. I look forward to seeing you here again and sharing some more amazing scripture with our Jesus sisters and our Jesus brothers. And to yes. that, we love you all. Go ahead. Did you have something you wanted to say?
Well, we're starting this new Jesus Jam. And we're really excited about that, because Laurel and I, we love music. A lot of our friendship, we have spent singing karaoke. And so of course, you know, when we were introduced to worship, we love talking about that, because we are so affected by music. And so it is something that her and I definitely connect on, and we want to connect with you too. So we're starting where we share, you know, a worship song that has just, you know, that, you know, every episode, and, you know, we'll post it to our Facebook page, and, you know, you can share something that's touched you in your life, but just a way for us to connect with our listeners. You know, as always, we want to pray for you if you have those prayer requests, but yeah, just, you know, sharing a worship song that has touched you. And so I'll just go mine that
what's
I'm
your
going
Jesus
to share.
Jam? What you got?
I figured it would be good. It's by Natalie Grant, and it's called Clean. And I just wanted to share a couple of the verses with you, or lyrics with you, because it definitely applies to everything we just talked about. But it says, I see shattered, you see whole. I see broken, but you see beautiful, and you're helping me to believe. You're restoring me piece by piece. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. And then what was dead now lives again. My heart's beating inside my chest. Oh, I'm coming alive with joy and destiny, because you're restoring me piece by piece. And then washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and you made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. And yeah, it's just beautiful.
I've been listening
if you get
to
a chance.
Yeah. Allie told me good. About it. I've been listening to it. You know, I do have I literally have a song list called My Jesus Jams, or Jesus Jams, and they're always different versions of Jesus Jams. I try to keep them in a playlist, but I love it. It is very beautiful. It's just very pure. And I've been enjoying it, Allie. So thanks for sharing that.
Oh, I'm glad that you listened. And yeah. She has an acoustic version, and I believe she plays the piano on it with her husband, and they're just this dynamic duo. That is Natalie Grant. I want to like give her a plug, cause I know I read some of her lyrics. And so, yeah, listen to it. She's awesome. Phenomenal worship singer. Yes. Now, okay. Laurel,
mine your is shares. this is at the top of my Jesus jam list right now, because it's always changing. You know, I do go in cycles. So right now, mine is Pour Your Spirit Out by Thrive Worship. And ooh. I just love it so much. Every time I listen to it, it just makes me want to throw my hands in the air and just be singing it out. I like how you were sharing a lyric, Allie, so I quick pulled these up, but this is part of the chorus. But just like Lazarus out of that grave, our God rewrites history. Jesus, you change everything when you pour your spirit out. And just like Silas singing with Paul, praise can break down prison walls. Jesus, you can have it all. Won't you pour your spirit out? And I've been reading the story. We were reading the miracles of Lazarus in our Bible study, and every time I would get to we would talk about Lazarus, I would be just jamming the song in my head. I'm like, I can't not sing it, but I love the Holy Spirit. It just is so amazing. So you're going to have to jam that out. And we'll, again, like Allie said, on our Facebook page, we'll link the videos, the music videos that they share on YouTube. So hopefully you love them as much as we do. Good job, Allie, remembering, because I totally forgot. And now our next episode, we're each going to have another Jesus jam. It's hard to just pick one, by the way. So,
well, I hope everybody has a wonderful Easter. We should be posting this episode on Palm Sunday. So great timing. I hope that you were blessed. We so appreciate you taking time to, you know, listen and tune in and supporting us and, you know, pray for us, and we pray for you, and God bless. God, thank you. And yeah, Jesus is the best.
Jesus is king. Okay. Amen. Yes. Jesus sister. Bye.
Amen.